7 o'clock.
Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to your place, love connection, Bible study. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please join us tonight as we are beginning our devotion of song, scripture, and prayer. And we'll start off with Mr. Mark Bryant, followed by the scripture, with Dr. James Nooks of Deuteronomy 31:6, and prayer by Dr. Susan.
Good evening, everyone. We thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules. You're in the city of Indianapolis. We thank you for joining us at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the world is explained. Whether you're here in the city or around the country, around the world, we thank you for taking time to come and join us to praise God. We will start off with song, scripture, and prayer. Today's song is Speak to My Heart. We're asking God that He will speak to your heart and our hearts, that He will lead and guide us this day and forevermore forward. This song, Speak to My Heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life, words of the wings of the morning. The dark night will fade away. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit. Give me the words that will bring new life, words of the wind of the morning, but dark night will fade away. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Lord. Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you, then I know what to do. I won't go alone, no, no. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit die and let your word abide. Speak to my heart, Lord. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, oh Lord. Speak to my heart, Lord. And give me your holy word. And if I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go alone. I'll never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide. And let your word abide. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, oh Lord. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Holy Spirit, words of the wings of the morning, all of the dark nights will fade away. Speak to my heart, speak to my heart.
harm.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture is Deuteronomy 31, and I'll read verses 1 through 6. When Moses had finished giving these instructions to all the people of Israel, he said, I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me you will not cross the Jordan River, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua will lead you across the river, just as the Lord promised. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land, just as he destroyed Zion and Og, the kings of the Amorites. The Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you must deal with them as I have commanded you. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you.
Amen.
Amen.
Would you join me in prayer? God, we come before you today as we are seeking for you to speak to our hearts, O God. We're coming before you today, O Lord, as we are trying to learn how to handle hard times with faith. Lord, we're just asking that you would be with us, walk with us, and keep us as we move forward into May's lesson of how to handle hard times with faith. Asking, Lord, that you would be with our presenter this evening, Mark Bryant, and the Love Connection Bible Study as we seek to be a ministry to people in a place where God is exalted and the word is explained. We ask these blessings in your son's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Good evening, everyone, again, to Love Connection.
Go ahead, I didn't hear you.
Good evening. Good evening. Again, thank you, everyone, for joining us at Love Connection Bible Study. We're so happy that you could join us, and we'll be speaking tonight on how to operate in faith during hard times. How do you operate in faith during hard times? The first scripture we're going to go to is Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. That's Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. And I will read that aloud. And if Dr. Nix, you could get our next scripture, which will be Matthew 9, verses 19 through 22. That's Matthew 9, verses 19 through 22. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6 is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it, by the elders, obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the words were framed by the word of God, so that that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe it that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So today we're talking about faith and how do you operate in faith during difficult times. Can anyone speak to
Amen. Brother Mark, before we get started, would you do a roll call, please, so we can have some idea who's on the line?
Sure.
So we know
roll
who you
call. If you're on the line, would you please just mention your name? This is roll call for this service.
Lester.
This is Dr. Lester Carver. Dr. Nook.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Susie.
Dr. Susie. Dr. Susie.
Is there anyone else who wants to share that they're on the line? If not, all you got to do is just feel free to listen and to join in when you're comfortable. We've got several people on the line tonight, Brother Mark, and wanted to give them an opportunity to make themselves known if they wanted to. So go ahead with the lesson today. Thank you.
Great. Well, again, we're happy that you've shared and come to share God's word with us. I want to emphasize on the two scriptures, verse 1 and verse 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, as a definition. Can someone give me a layman's term of their different definition of faith as it is, given to the Bible within the scripture? Dr. Carver?
Well, faith is what comes from God, and the things that we hope for are things that do not yet exist. But what we receive from God in the form of faith, which is not something that can be seen, is something that is evidenced by our actions. By our believing action, by knowing and believing God has given us that faith, then we use what he's given us. As we use it, people see that faith being translated into something that is real and tangible, because there's no proof until God shows his faithfulness, until God produces the results of that faith, which is actually realized by our believing action. So that is, I guess, a layman's understanding is God gives us faith. We use that faith as we believe, and it produces results.
Amen. Amen. God gives us faith, and as we use our faith, God gives us results. I love that definition, that layman's definition of faith. And
This is James. I just wanted to, for our listeners, and that's a faith. That's a faith in God. That's a Christian faith. But people can have faith not in things that are not of God, and they often do. So faith in the general sense is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. We that believe in God have complete faith and confidence in God. And it's a faith that is something that is exercised not just by seeing things, so it's old. But it also helps to sustain us and keep us, much as you know, what Pastor Carver was talking about. So, but there are people that don't have faith in God, but they have faith in other things. They have faith in their education. They have faith in their money. They have faith in their job. They have faith in their family. So we just like to make that that distinction. But there are people that have faith in, but they may not have faith in God.
Well, let me ask you on those lines, you know, given people have faith in their money and faith in their education and faith in their experience, is that enough faith in the little definition that would please God? Is that a faith that would please God? I don't know.
Well, no. No. It's impossible to please God without faith in God, you know, but that doesn't please God at all. But that's just what we do, and we tend to fall on that faith more, sometimes more often than we have faith in God, because it's something simpler and easier, and to us, to many people, and that's what they've been raised, and that's what our culture is about. So we need to have God in us to be able to understand that we have faith in God, and many people don't have God in them. So I mean, it does, but they have faith in something else.
I have a question. This is Lester Carver. It seems that there's a difference between faith in something and the faith from God. And the faith I was speaking of is the faith from God, which allows us to do the supernatural as we act on that faith, right? So it is possible to have faith in anything, but faith from God is that which proceeds from God to us that we act on, and we do everything God asks us to do because we know that he's given us the desire to do whatever he's put on our heart and the power to do it, the power to get it done.
Amen. Amen. And the reason why it's important, this is Dr. Susie. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
The reason why it's important to distinguish the two is because there are many people who go, well, I have faith. I have faith. And so you got to know, you know, the distinguishing difference, because people go to work and their faith is in their job, and that they are going to be the ones that bring home the money, and it's them who does the work and not the fact that it's God who empowers them or provides for them. And so if we don't distinguish that, then people who are young in the faith won't understand that when it's God that provides, God that makes that thing that is sure and certain, as when it comes from God, related to the biblical and faith and religious sense, versus faith in yourself, your abilities to perform, versus faith in God who ensures and makes sure and certain that the unseen things take place.
Amen.
And I'd like to go one step further say that there are people that have faith in the church and faith in religion. And that's not the same thing that we're talking about when we say faith in God. Because there are people that will put their faith in their worship. They will put their faith in ceremony. They will put their faith even in a pastor. And that's not the kind of faith we're talking about here. We're talking about a faith in God. And God gives us faith. God gives us His Spirit. And we know God, and we grow in that Spirit and in His understanding and His Word. And that faith helps us. It sustains us. So it's different than what some people talk about when they say they have faith in something other than God. So I just wanted to say.
And that's the difference. That's the difference between a believer and a non-believer.
Yes.
My question then goes, I think sometime last week we talked about faith in a small way where and it goes directly to this topic of, you know, how to operate faith during hard times. Is there an option to have faith only in hard times, or should we just have faith in hard times?
This is Dr. Susie. I don't think that was the issue. The issue is that people, when they go through hard times, they need something to know how to do. How can I handle this when I'm going through hard times? What can help me have the strength to go? It's not an issue, is that the only time? The issue is I need some tools when I'm going through hard times to make it through. And what are those tools that you can give me so that while I'm going through it, I can be successful and in line with the faith that God wants me to have?
You know, that's a very good question. And I'll tell you the thing that stands out to me is that people don't talk to God until they got a problem, you know? And I believe if people prayed and thanked God when times were good, if people prayed in the Spirit when they didn't have anything else to do, and they were just always talking to God and they had that relationship. See, communication is intimacy, right? So that when there is a problem, when you speak to God, God knows your voice. God wants to hear from you, because 80 to 90% of what He hears from you is praise and thanks and just being with Him, right? So that when there's a problem, you can say, hey, God, you know, I got a problem today. And He's like, oh, I know you. I already got that, right? Whereas the only time you come to God is when there's an issue, like some of our kids do, right?
And that's why this whole idea that Marcus, Brother Brian is leading us in will center us on the methodologies, some of the methodologies we can use with faith. We're not going to cover all of them. We're just going to cover some of them. And so we're just giving the audience and those of us in the Bible study a few tools on how to actually handle hard times with faith. And so praise God. And we hope everybody's got a pen, pencil out so that they can write this down and begin to exercise how to handle hard times with faith through the scriptures that we're sharing tonight.
Right. Well, one of the things that we are definitely going to give scriptures and specific tools that each of you can use in your daily walk, especially in difficult times. But what we definitely want to emphasize is that your faith walk does not start when things become difficult. Your faith walk should start when things aren't even opposing you. Your faith in God, in the sixth scripture, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. It didn't say when times are bad. So we must recognize that whether times are good or bad, that we must consistently have faith in God and allow him to lead us in the direction that he wants us to go.
This is Dr.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to say something regarding that before we went to the next piece. And that was the scripture, the foundational scripture of 31:6, that talks about, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of it. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So that's one of the ways in which we understand how to handle with faith. It's being strong, being courageous, as it said, not giving in to our own fear, but understanding that the very thing that empowers you in the midst of that hard time is your relationship with God. Because it says God goes with you, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And so that is the foundational text, and I don't want us to forget that that's a key way in which we can handle hard times with faith, and that's the one we read during devotion to follow up. So,
amen.
What would you like me to read now, Brother Mark?
Matthew chapter 9, verses 19 through 22.
I have it.
Matthew chapter 9. Okay, I've got it too.
I have it.
Verses 19 through 22. I have it. It says, Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. That's through 21, 22. How far? Jesus turned and saw her. Take heart, daughter, he said. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed from that moment.
Amen. Tell me what that scripture evokes from you. What do you evoke from that scripture?
Oh, it is a powerful, powerful text. And the text is speaking about, we hear the scripture that says all we need is mustard seed faith. And if you've ever seen a mustard seed implanted, then you know how tiny it is. So this woman, her tiny faith was just enough that if I can just touch, didn't say how long, but just touch. And so that to me is mustard seed faith. It's tremendous faith. It speaks to the fact that she believed and she was sure without knowing the future. So she was exercising everything she had as far as faith-wise in Jesus. And I think it's a tremendous example of the very thing that we're talking about. Here she is in a hard time. This is a woman with the issue of blood. She's been struggling for all of these years, right? And then, Lester's word, right? For 12 years. And then what happened is, she has enough to trust and put her faith in something that is beyond her, is bigger, is bigger than who she is, greater than who she is, does so, and as a result is rewarded. And so I think that's the same thing that God expects from us, for us to, when our situations and circumstances, our hard times are bigger than we are, our situations may be big, but we got a big God, a God who can handle
Amen.
All those situations and circumstances. That's just where we have to place our faith, remembering that he's never going to leave us nor forsake.
This is Eric. Amen. You're absolutely right, but let me back up to something Brother Carver said, Teacher Carver, and that is that relationship with God, not just when you get in trouble, And this is from Proverbs. This is from Proverbs. I called you so often, but you didn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you. And when calamity overcomes you like a storm, when you are engulfed by trouble, and when anguish and distress overwhelm you. I will not answer when you cry for help. Even though you anxiously search for me, you will not find me. For you hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. You rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected you. That is why you must eat the bitter fruit of living your own way. You must experience the full terror of the path that you have chosen. For you are simple fools, and your own complacency will destroy you. But all who listen to me will live in peace and safety and unafraid of harm. So you serve a God who wants to have a relationship with you and who does not want to be contacted just when you get yourself in trouble or something happens that is not according to what you want.
Amen.
Because whether we accept this or not, God can set you up and protect you, and Satan has the desire to destroy you. But God wants to know that you are solidified in Him, and that's the story of Job.
Sold out.
You got to be sold out for the Lord. So no matter what transpires—the loss of job, the loss of a loved one, you know, pain and hurt and things that you don't understand—if you can remain sold out for God, the joy on the other side of that is more than the turmoil and trouble that you go through.
Amen.
But it requires having a relationship, an authentic relationship with God.
Brother Mark is a teacher tonight. Go ahead, Brother Mark.
Amen. No, I'm like, go ahead. I'm enjoying this.
You're the teacher. I just wanted to add that because we neglect that. We have a mentality that thinks that we say we're Christians, we go to church, we might give a tithe, we may not, you know, we show up on Sunday and Wednesday, and we think that God is supposed to be at our beck and call. And that's not the God that we serve.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this is Lester Carter.
We also need to understand the fact that we understand that faith is a confidence of things hoped for, when we have faith, we got to understand that it's God's way of giving us confidence, assurance that God's going to follow through. And so we can have that, and that's a part of that special relationship that you're talking about, is that because of that relationship, God gives us the confidence and assurance that He's never going to leave us or forsake us, and He's going to promise, you know, what He says He's going to do.
I want to be open to Pastor Carver. But is there a statute of limitations on faith? I mean, this lady, she had this blood disease, this problem with blood for 12 years, and I'm sure that wasn't the first time that she had a certain amount of wondering, you know, what can I do? What, you know, can something or somebody heal me? But at that moment, she reached out and touched the hem of His garment. And by her faith, and all these people around him, he recognized somebody touched me, and you know, and all of his disciples are telling him that you got all these people around you, you know, everybody's touching, but somebody touched me, you know, from what he's saying, he recognizes that the faith that she had was something that caught a nerve through him. It touched him. Her spirit touched his spirit, and because of her faith, she was made whole. I guess how many times do we think that it's the faith that we have is supposed to draw a conclusion on our time? How many times do we think that the faith that we have will draw a conclusion based on our time versus God's time?
Oh, very good
question. Can anyone speak to that?
Yes. You know what? The thing I see, an example with a lady with the issue of blood, you know, it talked about how she'd been to physicians, she'd been to doctors, you know, all of this stuff. But her faith, her expectation to be healed, and knowing and believing that Jesus Christ could heal her, allowed her to muster up the strength to go out in the public where she should not have been because she had a blood disorder, to break all the rules, to sneak up behind Jesus and push through the throng of people and touch the hem of his garment. And then he felt power released from him. He felt something happen. But her faith led her to act in a situation where she wouldn't think about it. If somebody famous was coming, I remember Muhammad Ali came to town once. You don't know if you're ever going to actually get up close and personal with that person, even though you're in the same room because there are so many other people, right? That was her situation, but she believed all the way when the idea came to her mind, and the idea came from God, was I can be healed. Jesus Christ is in the vicinity. Yeah. I can show up and make this happen and receive. And so faith is what comes from God when you get that thought that deliverance is available. But then the believing action that it takes to activate that faith and make it something that is real comes from you doing, you acting out, you being persistent. And I'm sure it's not the first time she heard the thought that she could be healed, but this was the first time the opportunity to be healed presented itself in that Christ was in the vicinity, right? So I think that's the question we have to ask when we're going through, is Christ in the vicinity, right? And we know that he is, right? So, yes, we know that he is, and I'll just leave it right there.
So the reality in answering the question that is part of the lesson today is why should we operate in faith during hard times, which is part of what Pastor Lester answered, is we operate in faith, one, out of the relationship that we have. We operate in faith because we know God promises never to leave us nor forsake us and that his word is true to us. We operate in faith because we have that, you know, we're connected. And so as we look at this lesson, you know, the questions are, again, you know, even though we're looking at how do we handle these hard times, this is a woman whose hard time was that she had an issue of blood for 12 years. This woman also was one who, and you know, I heard Brother Lester talking about walking in a crowd or touching. You know, I see the woman on the ground, you know, reaching, because that's where the hem is on the bottom. And I see her doing everything she can to just get unnoticeably close to Jesus where she can just touch his garment. And so that even is even to me more of a humble posture in which she is trying to do everything she can not to be obvious, to be obscure, but yet to be able to reach her hand out there. And I'm thinking she could get stepped on, hurt, but she's doing all the things just to do whatever she can to touch his garment. And so, you know, this is a major story of faith to me. Amen.
Well, this is Eric. While it is a story of faith, it's also a story of believing the story that you've heard and that you've seen. Because no doubt she's heard of what Jesus has done in the region. No doubt she's seen some of the people that have been healed by Jesus. And she has realized within herself and saying, if he could do that for them, then he can do that for me. So I've got to move forward to try to get that done because I'm out of options. And the ones I've tried to do have not worked. I cannot operate. And I think this is where we get caught up. We cannot operate to the point of where we affect the decision and the outcome. We think we can, but we can't. And when God doesn't show up when we want to, then we revert to say, oh, well, he wouldn't do it for me. When God is saying, no, you need to let me take care of that situation. You need to, that old saying, let go and let God, you need to get out the way. Because we hinder God from doing a lot of stuff in our lives because we keep messing around in that. And I think that
and we miss
yes, he had the faith that he could do
don't
it for
operate in faith.
Well, no, we don't operate in faith because most of the time, if we're truthful, the only faith that we have is the faith in ourselves of what we think we can do because we've done this and we've done this and we've gotten this job and we got this degree and we and I and God is standing there like, well, you couldn't have done it without me. You couldn't have done it if I didn't give you breath to be able to go to class. You couldn't have done it without me giving you breath to go to work, to make the right decisions, to not end up in trouble and all of that. And so God is standing there like, you know, what about me? If it were not for my breath in you, you couldn't do anything. You'd be a corpse.
Right.
Amen.
And so part of that tool, and this is all I want to say, but part of that tool in that toolkit is realizing that without God, ain't none of it happening.
Amen.
And that's the hard part. This is Dr. Susan. Just one more thing, Mark. I'm going to just a short. But that's really the hard part, is that we get so caught up in doing things ourselves that, you know, We forget that God, I don't even know if it's just that we forget. Sometimes I think there's some people who don't even know that. So it's important that they hear that today, that it is God who wakes you up and starts you on your way. It is God that gives you your job and helps you buy a car. It is God that helps you have a family and bear children because you got right mind and an operating body. It is God that allows you to do everything you do that you take for granted and you think it's about you and your gift. So I think that's an important lesson for us tonight as we look at how we're handling hard times with faith and why we should operate in faith during these hard times. Thank you, Brother Mark.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, there have been times in my life, and I want to kind of share this and hopefully evoke some of the situations that some of you all had where without faith in God, I wouldn't have been able to go to the next step. You know, I can think of times where, and I think I've mentioned this before, when I was a young man, and I knew that I had the power of prayer, and if I prayed, something was going to happen. And I knew it wasn't me, and I knew it had to be only my faith in God. And so God had led me to an older gentleman that my mother had a great relationship with in business, and he was dying, and God asked me to pray for this man. I knew if I prayed for this man that he was going to live. There was no question, no thought in my mind that this man was going to live. And so I prayed for this man just as if I could see him get up from that hospital bed that next minute and walk out. And I prayed for him, and the next day he died, and I was really troubled in my mind, trying to figure out, well, Lord, I know I have faith in you that you can raise this man like you've done before. And God spoke back to me, and he told me that the reason was not that he had me pray was not that this man would be raised from this situation, but to see that if I would be obedient to him. And I think many times in my situation, God was taking me to a place where I had to show my obedience to him using the faith that he had given me. And so I appreciate God just using me as a servant to do what he would ask to do, to please him. Because at the end of the day, I can't please him without having faith. And the pleasure that God gets from the faith in me is all I can truly ask for. And I must be obedient to whatever God has for me to do. Because is there anyone that can give me an example of how either God has used you or God has given you faith and blessed you through or blessed you or a situation from the faith that you had?
Amen. Yes, I have a similar story. I was 9, and I was at this big international prayer conference. and there was this blind guy outside of the big meeting tent, and he was just sitting there, and God kept pulling on me to go minister healing to this blind guy. And I choked. I did not move. I didn't do anything. And it stuck with me. And 30 years later, I was on a plane on my way back from Israel, and this guy was on the plane coming into Indianapolis from Chicago. And I was one, stunned, and then two, asking myself, you know, I was led to ask him, were you ever at a prayer conference in Ohio in the 70s? But what God was showing me was how everything is done for a reason. And the important thing is that you hear the voice of God, you learn to hear the voice of God, because the times that you obey are as important as the times when you
Amen.
Disobey. And when you disobey and you acknowledge that and you own it and you say, you know what? I know that God knew I wasn't going to obey, but he didn't just allow me to hear that for no reason at all, so that the next time he's preparing you to be ready for the time he knows you're going to be ready, so that you know he's talking to you. And he's talking to you because you talk to him. So I just want to say that was an awesome testimony, and that was my experience as well. And I did learn. I learned not to ignore the voice of God.
Amen. Amen.
I have an example. And you know, somebody may think that this is kind of on the spiritualized side, but I was at my last unit of last semester of seminary, and everybody in the class had a book with maybe like three of us or something like that. And so the professor was going to put a book in the library, and so we were going to all have to take turns going in and copying that. And I lived out of town, so it was really inconvenient. And I cried, and I was going, man, I ain't going to be able to finish my class. Here's the last class, and it's really difficult for me, and blah, 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 blah. Well, on my way home, I went, you know, talking about listening to the Spirit. Something just said, go home a different way today. So I went home a different way. And as I was going through the neighborhood, I saw a sign that said garage sale. Now, I'm not a garage seller. I don't really like to do stuff like that. I didn't at that time anyway. And so I said out loud, I'm not going to that garage sale. And I heard a voice say, go to the garage sale. I was like, whoa. I said, okay. So I turned up in the driveway. I backed up, and I said, I know this is crazy, but I'm going to the garage sale. I went to the garage sale. I pulled up on the curb, parked the van with my baby in the car, got out, leaving the windows cracked, and right on the corner, I heard, look in that box right there. There were other boxes. So this is not just, I just saw one box. He said, look in that box. So I looked in the box on the corner, right by where I had parked, and I looked in the box, and it was Playboy magazine, Playgirl, with me and Nick naked. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm looking through this Playboy. You know, and the Lord said, quit tripping and look through the box. And at the very bottom of the box, the stack of Playgirl boy magazines, in the bottom of the box was the book that I needed for a quarter.
Mm-hmm. I love how God
Amen.
Can speak to you and take you where he needs to do and speak the way you understand in a personal voice. And it's so special to recognize that God can take you through situations when you don't even realize what's going on, even beyond yourself, besides yourself, it still takes you to the place where you need to be. Is there anyone else that can speak to using faith?
Yeah, this is Eric. I've got one where I heard, but I didn't follow, and I'll tell you what happened. That time I was working for GM, just single and kind of living my own life, and I was working nights. And so prior to going to work, I went to this neighborhood supermarket, And there was a guy in front of me. I picked up a couple things. I didn't have much. Had $100 in my pocket. And there was an old man in front of me. He had, I remember like it was yesterday, he had some neck bones, some greens. He had a bottle of wine and a can of Prince Albert tobacco and some rolling papers. And my mind said, you know, you could pay for that. And I looked and I said, well, don't look like he need that wine, and I don't smoke, so I ain't paying for nobody else to smoke. And so I went on home and got ready and went on to work, and I took that money, that, the change that was left, about $80, and I lived alone, and I put it in this cup on my stereo speaker where I normally just, you know, put my change and my keys. And I went on to work and you know, came on home that morning and, you know, got something to eat and took a nap and got up and, you know, did some stuff and went to that cup and it was empty. The money was gone. And clear as, like Dr. Sue, clear as day, the Lord said, well, you could have paid for that man's food and it wouldn't have cost you that much. And now you lost all of it. And so now when you know, the Spirit pricks me to help somebody like that, I don't question it. Don't question it not one bit, even if it's the last thing I got in my pocket.
Amen.
Because what God wants us to be, he says obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen.
Amen.
This is truly a faith walk. And I'm going to give an example. And if I could be followed up by Dr. Susie on the situation when you were a child and you were on the bank. I don't know if you recall telling me that story.
When I was a kid, and I was on. Go ahead.
You was a banker. You were fishing, you were about to fall off. I think to fall off this one area, and there was a snake and what have you. But I'm going to tell my story now, and then I want. Go ahead.
Well, go ahead, Brother Mark. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't want to
recently. No, that's a recently, and God is in the blessing business, and not just, you know, financially, but spiritually, emotionally. God can bless you any way He desires to bless you. This happened to be financially. This was just a short time ago, where I think I had only $30 in my pocket, and that's all I had. So $30. And I was at church, and God led me to give away 20 of my $30. Now you know, in my mind I'm thinking, you know, I only got $30. You know, that may mean that there's some food and gas or something's gonna have to give. And I was behind on my car, behind on a lot of different other things, and the only piece that I could have only received was the peace of God in the midst of the confusion. But God allowed me to give away the 20 and not think anything of it to a person who didn't even need it. 2 days later, I got a check in the mail for $2,000. I was like, I hope it was $22,000, but it was $2,000. And I was able to pay a lot of the bills that I had. And didn't even know where it came from. It made no sense that I had received this $2,000, but I obeyed what God had told me to do. And I believe there's a blessing in obedience, whether it be from God healing our bodies, adopt providing finances, adopt blessing our relationships. There's a blessing, you know, in the obedience to God and allowing the faith that God has given us to be used. Dr. Susan.
Amen. Amen. It's 7:49 now. And did you want to do the are you through and you ready for me to do the
I'm gonna read one more scripture and praise then we'll do praise reports. If we'll go to 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And I'll go ahead and read it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, Christ may rest, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
Amen.
So, can anyone speak to those two scriptures that I just wrote?
I think
can.
This is.
Go ahead, Dr. Nick.
I think this is critical for us that have faith to understand that our greatest strength comes when we are reduced, when we are lessened, when our power and our strength is reduced, and we realize that, and then God's strength and power can come through, just like Gideon had to be reduced down to 300 men so that God would get the glory. And I think that as long as we think we have the ability to do things, and we have been given all these gifts from God, and we forget sometimes that they come from God, but God needs to remind us every now and then that it's not us, but it's Him, or it's God, Him, or whatever you want to call God. But God is doing it. And Paul understood here, he said, you know, he could have the big head in so many words, but instead he would hit a thorn in the flesh, given a thorn in the flesh. And we've been given these thorns in the flesh to remind us and to rely on God. I think one of my greatest difficulties was that I was blessed by God with many gifts. And it wasn't until I realized that, you know, I got my knee hurt and I couldn't play football anymore. And sometimes, you know, burdens and things or difficulties came upon me and I couldn't do them anymore. Then I realized I saw God. And many of us can't see God for our own selves. And this is a key verse for our faith. And so people that walk around, strut around, and act like they're all this and that, they have the totally wrong image for being used by God. So, I mean, these people that strut around and act like they know everything and got it all figured out, and they're God's gift to the world, that's not the image of a Christian. That's not the image that we should be portraying. We need God, and we need each other. And Paul is saying here, when I am weak, then I am strong. That's mm-hmm. when our strength can be shown, because God is in us, and God is where the strength comes from. It doesn't come from us. So our culture teaches us to be the boss, to be the biggest, to be the best. We got a president that walks around here and acts like he's never done anything wrong in his life. You know, what a terrible example for people to see Christ. We need to be reduced so that Christ can be shown through us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight we're gonna conclude on that statement, recognizing that, you know, there's nothing more important than recognizing that God is the center of our faith. He's the center of all that we do.
As we close, Brother Mark, let's go around and do what we normally do, and that's to get each person to kind of give back what they got out of the lesson so that they're take-homes for other listeners. And then if you will give the final say, the final perspective of what you want to share, that would be great.
Great.
So, Brother Lester, you want to start off?
Yeah. I think what I heard more than anything else is, it's about God getting the glory. And when we understand we're in a tight spot, it's a crisis situation, and see it as an opportunity to glorify God, we'll learn to stay still. We'll learn to expect God's deliverance. We'll learn to thank God in the good times and the bad.
Amen. Amen. Brother Eric.
Yeah, so this is something that I tell my staff that I have, is that if you will water your field on a regular basis, you won't have to be concerned about grass fires. And they always look at me and I'm like, if you take the time and pay attention to take care of the small things, then it won't get to be the big things. And for this is that if you'll take the time to have a relationship with God on a continual basis, on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, when those things come up, you will understand that God has already taken care of them and you can walk knowing that it's all going to be okay. It may not go the way that you want it to or the way that you expect it to, but it will go the way that God best meant it for you to glorify him.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Nooks.
Operate in faith in the good times and the bad times. And if you
Amen.
Do that, then there'll be less of a problem in the hard times. As you exercise faith, your faith grows. And that's a great thing. So that when the hard times come, your faith is strong.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susan. Anyone else who wants to talk? I think we just about covered it. Jamie, I don't know if you wanted to say anything, did you? Did you have a take home you wanted to share? Okay. So, this is Dr. Susie. What I wanted to share tonight that I gleaned from the lesson, first of all, Brother Mark, I want to thank you so much for what an awesome job you did in teaching the class tonight.
Amen.
You know, your first time
Amen.
Stepping out on faith, did an excellent job. And
Amen.
So I look forward to you to be in the rotation in the next 4 to 5 months when you come back up again. But, you know, this is such a major, major lesson. And how to handle hard times with faith, because there's so many people right now who don't have money, who don't have food, who don't have support, who are struggling to make it, who are having problems on their jobs, who are having problems with their families, with their relationships. And they need to understand that the reason we operate in faith is we do that out of relationship with God. So we operate in faith because we can trust him. We operate in faith because we know that God is our God and we're God's people. We're in covenant relationship. And we can trust because we know that God will do that which is best for us. And that's the hard part, is sometimes, and to learn that we have to, as Brother Eric was saying earlier, let go. Take our hands off of it. Be willing to let go. And that's really hard for a lot of us because we're control freaks. And we believe that our 2 cents is going to make a difference when we input the winds in the 4 corners of the earth in any form or fashion. But somehow we think we can really make a difference. And we don't have control. And when we begin to realize that and we operate with our relationship with God, as Eric said, continue to water the and everybody has given good information tonight. But that relationship with God has to be that which keeps you. And he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. And that's why we operate in faith during hard times. That's my take home that I hold on to. And thank you, Brother Mark. You have the last say, and then we'll go into praise reports and prayer concerns.
My take home, along with many things that were said tonight, is in the most difficult times, I look through this prism of sight and feeling and touch and spirit and see an opportunity to please God and an opportunity for God to tell me that I can trust you. And I think any time that God can say to one of us, I can trust you, he's placing something special inside us that's going to allow either us to be blessed or giving us the opportunity to bless someone else. So sometimes it's not even about us. Sometimes it's just about God's obedience to him, or God showing how we can bless somebody else. And it is nothing more special than having the opportunity to please God by using the faith that he's given us. So that's my takeaway, and I truly thank God for the opportunity to teach today's class, and I know God's going to have a blessing upon our lives just because we've come together to bless his holy name. And I'm turning this service back over to
Amen. So are there any praise reports or prayer requests for tonight?
This is Eric. I got to run, but I do want to give this one. I got word late last week from the HUD OIG office that they have been investigating me for 18 months because of some disgruntled employee. Not only have they looked through all the records that I've had, they've also gone to the city and looked through their records. They have not found anything, and they are officially going to close their investigation, which now I can move forward with doing some other stuff that I need to be done. And I want to give God praise, honor, and glory that I knew they wasn't going to find anything. But yet, I still needed to go through this. And I have had to remind myself that even in the midst of this, this has not been my fight. This has been God's fight. But the biggest thing that I want to tell people is that even though they've done that, I am still not to try to find my way in trying to make myself vindicated. This is the Lord's victory and the Lord's battle. I just need to do what the Lord has asked me to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this is Dr. Susie. I wanted to share a praise report as well. On my job, a couple of things happened, and my boss walked in and he yelled at me in front of some other people, four of the people, and he said that I was in trouble because I made a phone call to another city to ask when their program was going to start, and I'm the head resident, and all three of us were in the room and had agreed to call. But I took they gave me the heat. They didn't challenge anybody else. I'm the only black person there. I'm the oldest. So they gave me the responsibility. Nobody else got chewed out. The previous chief's son-in-law is part of our team. He didn't get chewed out. He didn't get challenged. But I did. The second thing he chewed me out for, he said that if I did again, I was going to get fired, is that I happened to talk to the director of the VA during Christmas. He called and asked me to come out and hang with everybody. I was up in my room minding my own business. So I went down and I talked to him and found out that he went to Northeastern State University with me. So we hung out. I said, you know, I need a mentor. Is there anything I can, you know, can you kind of help me navigate the waters? Because I don't know the culture and I'm learning. I said, and it would be fantastic if I could get a reference from the director when I look for jobs at the VA. And he said, sure, I'd love to do that. And so he said, just stop in my office when it gets closer to town for you to apply for jobs. So I went there. And he talked to me, and he was very cordial and helpful. And then my boss says that the director called his boss, chewed his boss out, and said, why is the student coming to my office asking me for a reference? And then his boss called him and chewed him out, and he said he almost lost his job for that. So I am praying for God to reveal to me what it is that I need to do, because in most places that is not an issue to get a mentor, to ask for a reference. But in the VA, because there is such a thing as a chain of command that nobody tells you anything about, that they believe as a student, I could never go into the director's office and ask him for anything, even though he says there's an open door policy, but I guess it's not real. Or if that's true or not, I don't know whether it's true or memory. But anyway, the reality is I've been threatened and challenged to not be there if I do anything else again. And so those are the landmines that I hit. And God, he said that when he came in the office, that I actually had a piece of paper in my hand that I was filling out to order books. And an intern, because I'm the head resident, had just come to me asking me questions about do we have any materials, and I said, I don't know. We'll have to ask the chief. He walks in the door, and I ask him if we have any material. He swears up and down that I had a form in my hand getting ready to fill it out and turn it in without asking him anything. Well, obviously that's not true because I didn't even know anything about where a form was, what a form looked like, or where to go get it. But he could imagine in his mind's eye that I created this or found this form and had it filled out. Well, when I asked him, I said, if you really believe that, I'm here to tell you that there's proof that that's not true. If you talk to the people who were there, then you would know that they had just asked me the question before you came in the door, and I wouldn't have had time to go get a form, even though I don't even know where one is. Well, he didn't ask the people who were on my team, but he did go ask the white military active man who was there when he said it. And praise God, hallelujah, the man says, sir, she's telling you the truth. So he says to that man, well, you know, I'm wrong. I'm going to have to correct that. But he never comes to me. Never comes to me. But I go to him and correct it because we need to get some stuff straight. But the point is that I praise God for vindicating me. I praise God for me having faith that my God would not allow that to be set in that manner without giving correction. So I thank God for it.
Amen. Amen.
This is Lester Carver. I just had a praise report that, you know, after spending a lot of time away from my wife and over the past year, flying between San Diego and Indy, we finally decided to regroup and come back to Indy. And we worked through a whole lot of challenges because in a 31-year marriage, you carry a lot of baggage from raising kids and whatnot. And we made it through our work, and we are ready and refreshed to move forward into the next 31 years of our marriage. And I just want to thank God for his presence in our midst and making the crooked places straight.
Amen.
Amen. Is there anyone else that has any praise reports or prayer concerns? So I ask
This is Mark. I have a prayer request. My prayer request is for this body and those that are attached to this body, that God will give restoration, that he will bless relationships, that he bless our finances, and that God will give us the desires of our heart. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Is there anyone else? We can go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. God, we come before you right now. We just thank you for being God all by yourself. Lord, you love us and you care for us and you made sure that no matter what it is, according to your word, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, and we can know that you're walking beside us. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us tonight through Brother Mark Bryant that how we can handle hard times with faith. We thank you, Lord, for answering the questions, why should we operate in faith during hard times? And we ask that you walk with us as we next week work on actively waiting on God as part of how we operate in hard times. But, Lord, as we come before you, we're just asking that you bless each and every person on the line, as Brother Marcus said, that you would restore, that you would build and establish relationships and solidify relationships and finances. And, Lord, give us the desires of our hearts. Lord, I'm just asking in my life that your will would be done and that I could line up with what that is so that I could be in your perfect will. And therefore, I could have a ministry that honors you and that I would be totally successful. But we pray for business and ask that you bless Brother Carver's business. We ask that you bless Dr. Nooks as he's working in an area as a caregiver. We ask that you bless Mark and continue to give him health in his body. But we're asking as well that you would enlighten our minds as we come to you seeking you to fully understand your word. Give us spiritual insight, oh God, that we can continue to walk in your way and be open to the lessons that you're teaching us as we go day to day. We ask that you bless those who are out there in radio land who are listening to our broadcast, that you would help them, that the Holy Spirit would open their hearts and give them exactly what they need, exactly where they itch, so that they would seek more, Lord, to know more about you and come back again next week. We give you honor, glory, and praise as we go forward. In your Son Jesus' name we pray, trusting you always. In God's name, amen.
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 See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.